KUJZ is 95.3 The Score.
I hope you're ready. It's that time.
This is going to be cool.
Climb aboard for the radio ride known as Sports Talk.
A day that will live in sports radio infamy.
Brought to you by Guarantee RV.
We're talking the big deal, the real deal.
On Highway 99 in Junction City. Online at GuaranteeRV.com.
I am not only drinking the Kool-Aid, I'm the manufacturer.
I am losing my mind.
Dan, it might be semi-circle time.
Hi, I'm Steve, and, well, I brought a list.
And now, a guy with tons and tons of issues.
Yeah, I kind of do have issues.
And broadcasting them, searching for answers.
Yeah, to go, what the hell are we doing?
It's Steve Tannen.
Hey, folks. Hey, Elmo. Welcome to Sports Talk, the Wednesday edition here. 95.3, The Score. Super Bowl pending. Basketball pending. A lot of pending because it's not a chock full of action Wednesday. We were talking earlier about the passing of NFL Hall of Famer Chris Dolman. I guess the proper phrase is Pro Football Hall of Famer, but he got there via the NFL. I wonder, Pro Football Hall of Fame, how many like full-timers from the Canadian Football League are in? I know there were guys who played in Canada, like Warren Moon, who made the Football Hall of Fame, but if not for his career with Houston and Minnesota and a little while with Seattle, right? He's not in. That'd be interesting. I know we got some of you CFL fans out there. Do you know of a pure CFLer who's in the Pro Football Hall of Fame? And by the way, no. Just don't. There's about four or five of you who every time the CFL, oh, you shouldn't know. Football season. Labor Day till the end of the Super Bowl. Never going to change. And by the way, go find a hurricane and whiz into it. You'll get more satisfaction out of that than try to convince me otherwise. The hiring of Dusty, last game, last inning, it's all going to come unglued. Baker is the new manager of the Houston Astros. Good move for stability. They refer to him as a short-term manager. And I was like, so he's just going to manage like the first three innings? Or just he's going to have things locked down through May? But anyway, you know, I didn't even see. Is it a one-year deal? Is it a two-year deal? Is it inning by inning?
It was initially reported as a two-year deal, and then Ken Rosenthal said that it was a one-year deal with an option, which probably seeing as how rapidly the Astros had to fire their manager and then find a new manager for the season, taking a one-year flyer with Dusty Baker as an established calming presence in baseball makes a lot of sense to have him be around for a year while you actually do an active managerial search, I'm guessing, through the rest of the season.
Huh. I see. That makes sense. And I don't know if they had a better option than the Dusty, the Baker, and the Candlestick Maker. But, so here he goes. I just remember when they were waiting to move to D.C. from Montreal, and Frank Robinson was the manager, and that one time they caught him asleep in the dugout. And it was like, hey, Frank, we have a game today. Check that. There's a game happening now. You're in the dugout. It's taking place as we speak. And we're losing. It was 3-0 when the inning started. It's 3-3 with two on and nobody out. You might want to go take your pitcher out. 284-8571. The Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. I mentioned earlier, Baker has another manager had their season end in more horrific fashion in back-to-back years than Baker in 0-2 and 0-3 with two different teams. Up 3-2 with a lead in game 6 and 7 as the skipper of the 2002 Giants. They blew a 5-run lead in game 6 and then I think a 3-run lead in game 7 as the Angels, led by some clutch hitting from Troy Gloss, won their only World Series. Then in 0-3, he had the Cubs 5 outs from their first World Series since the war. Actually, they were in the World Series in October of 1945. World War II had just ended.
The Ottoman Empire.
So it would have been, you know, do the math, almost 50 years, almost 60 years later, 58 years later, when they had the lead on the Marlins, when with one on and nobody out, Luis Castillo lofted a little pop that went foul, and Moises Alou thought he had a beat on it, but a fella named Bartman intervened, and the Marlins scored 8 times, and won Game 6 and Game 7. That is Dusty Baker, 2002-2003, how his season ended. Since they won it in 81 when he was an outfielder for the Dodgers, he's been snake bitten. He's a great baseball guy. He is a really good manager. Like Nick said in the update, if somehow the Astros got in, which is not out of the realm of possibility, he'd become the only manager ever to take a fifth team to the postseason.
He also has a chance because his son, I believe...
Darren.
Yeah, little Darren Baker is an all-conference player at Cal, and his most famous moment is being picked up by the shirt by
J.T.
Snow. There's a non-zero chance that Dusty Baker is able to draft his son as a 70-year-old managing the Astros in this summer's draft.
I'm trying to think. You mentioned how many teams taken to the playoffs. Was Billy Martin with the Twins, Yankees, A's, and the Tigers in 1972, I think? Well, you said that he would be the first to get to 5. I think Billy Martin had 4. I don't know if there was somebody else who piloted. I know La Russa did it with the 83 Chi Sox, and plus obviously many times winning World Series with Oakland and St. Louis. I don't think he was with anyone else, but I think Billy Martin managed 4 teams. I think he was with the Twins 1 year when they won the first American League West. Then in 1972 with the Tigers, who lost to the A's, I think so. And then, of course, a couple times with the Yankees and the Billy Ball A's made the playoffs in either 80, 81, I believe. I do declare.
I got that stat from Bob Nightingale of USA Today Sports, and he also confirmed it's a one-year deal with a club option for a second year, which basically means, Dusty, please hold things down in 2020. We've greatly appreciate your experience. You might not have total control over the draft, but yeah, third, fourth round, if Darren's hanging around, yeah, we'll let you pick your son. That'll be a great moment. Also, you probably won't be around in 2021, so this might be your last chance to win a World Series. We got a good team here, and we're working on how to steal signs in a slightly more subtle way.
Yeah, that was part of the deal. He was like, I'll take the job. You're still doing the sign stealing thing because I really want
to
win.
I get
my
to,
window's closing.
I get to ignore the sign stealing's kind of going on, just that's all happening behind me, right? It's the player's fault now.
Is that now referred to as a Lunau or a Hinch or a Cora or a Beltron?
I think it's a Cora. Considering he did it twice,
yeah.
I think you've got to call it the Cora.
He's the link. He's the dot that needs to be connected. But I would really like for you to verify the other managers, if it's someone besides Billy Ball, who have taken 4 different teams to the postseason. Because you know how that drives me nuts when I'll see a scroll on ESPN. Just became the 5th player ever with 5 consecutive 60-goal seasons. Well, why'd you change the subject? Who are the four other guys? Don't you realize that a lot of sports fans are like borderline OCD? And when the question's presented and we don't get the answer, we want to come to whoever is manning the scroll and beat them senseless with a wet noodle?
I think it's just you.
I don't think so. Although,
Well, the only thing that Bob Nightingale has here is Baker is one of only seven managers joining Hall of Famers John McGraw, Tony La Russa, Bobby Cox, Joe Torre, Sparky Anderson, Joe McCarthy, Walton Alston, and Leo DeRocher with that many victories and a .532 winning percentage. He has 1,863 wins.
Yeah, is that like 16 and change losses?
Yeah, well, that happens in baseball. But there is no mention of the other four, at least in this article I just read. So
right, but like I said, in your update said he would be the first to take five different teams to the playoffs.
Correct.
I'm going to need to know the one who
take
else.
Take it up with Bob Nightingale at B Nightingale on Twitter. Please.
You really think I'm not going to do that during the break?
I'm wondering why it's taken you so long and you haven't tweeted him already.
Because you just informed me. But if there only was a device somehow to managers who've taken multiple teams to the playoffs, I'm thinking not only do I have Billy Martin, but I think I have the years. 69 Twins, 72 Tigers,
nice.
77 Yankees, and 81 A's. So there, we'll get on that after a break. Let's break now. No, I'm only kidding. If you want to text us, 321-0824, you can try us on Twitter at 953thescore, or you can hit us up for the station. That's that. Me is at SportsTalk953 for Nick. It is at Rick Nodgers. Was mentioning earlier, and I'll tell you, rarely do we come to a consensus because there's always one or two of you that will just play devil's advocate. And if we say today is Wednesday, tomorrow's Thursday, you'd be like, yeah, but you're not taking into consideration the international dateline because there's one of those in every crowd. But the remark from Marcus Spears of ESPN, who just, without a qualifier, in discussing Sunday's game, said, yeah, you know, they do have the best quarterback in the NFL in Patrick Mahomes, and he just went into it. And I was like, that's the consensus. QB1 right now, National Football League, is Pat Mahomes. And it's like, while you could make a case for Russell Wilson or maybe Aaron Rodgers, and for this year, Lamar Jackson, you could also make, at least, how about this? You can make an equal case for Mahomes and probably a better case for Mahomes because what he's done in back-to-back years now, 50 TD passes and to the brink of knocking off the dynasty of our generation last year to ending a half-century drought for Kansas City, and he was a big reason to get them into the Super Bowl. So no quarterback has had better back-to-back years, and 2 years in the NFL, you know, it's like we talk about, it's like, well, 1 year, it's like Sean Alexander's the best back in the world. 2-3 years later, you don't even know where he is, not even in the league. Went throughout guys like Priest Holmes and, you know, LaDainian Tomlinson and who's the 2,000-yard guy who was like done? Chris Johnson. And then for 2 years, they, I think, had four running plays NFL-wide. They just stopped running the ball. And the league changes and turns over, and the hierarchy alters. And, yeah, I am completely in on Pat Mahomes as the guy right now. All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. Let's bring in Ivan. Ivan, good afternoon. How you doing?
How you doing, Steve?
All right, what's up?
Hey, Dick Williams. I know he managed the Red Sox, the A's, and the and San Diego in the playoffs. Was he the manager of the Expos when they were in the...
That would have been 81. 1980? Yeah.
80 or 81.
He was. So Dick Williams, the 67 Red Sox, the first two A's championships, the Expos in 81, and the Padres in 84.
There you go.
That's a good one. So I think we now have two that we have to contact Bob Nightingale over.
All right.
Great stuff, man. I appreciate it. And I'll sleep better. All right. So I can't take it anymore. I have to know if Billy Martin was the answer. I can't trust any of you people. You're just no help at all. All right, Billy Martin, managerial record. All right, 1969 with the Twins. You know what I like about with the baseball reference? When you do the managerial stats, the last column is ejections.
It's important stuff.
It is. It absolutely is. So the 1972 Tigers were, in fact, in the playoffs. So that's two, and I don't even have to double check. So Billy Martin is number two on the list. So I wonder who else it may be. It obviously, you would assume it's got to be in the last 51 years since they went to playoff, because, you know, for the first, 98 years of the game, you had two managers make the postseason, and the odds of getting to four different franchises, and not only just making the postseason, but the playoffs. So with Pinella, it's only two.
The playoffs?
Because he never got the Yankees in. He got, obviously, the Cincinnati Reds of 90 won every marble there was. Did he, with the Cubbies, Pinella, and who am I missing? That might be it. I might be making stuff up. So Seattle and Cincinnati, and maybe the Cubs, Lou Pinella, but definitely not a fourth. All right. 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. So there's a site on Twitter that now basically plays right into a simple mind like mine. They will post like a 1.5-line question. It was, top five NBA players you've seen play in person. I was like, no, wait a minute. Then there was the next one, and I'll tell you what, I can get distracted at work. I'm embarrassed to tell you how I get lost on these things when I'm at home, especially if I'm by myself, because I will then be like, all right, I'm going to answer this, but I'll give my initial answer, and then I'll say to myself, now you're wrong. I listed my top five, and I was like, you don't really believe that. Steve, redo your list before you make it public. I bet you a lot of people do that. Do you make sure when you tweet sometimes, you edit your tweets, that you want to make sure that, especially if you're going to take a strong opinion, somebody's not going to come back and say, yeah, you're wrong, you're an idiot?
Well, you got to make
certainly
sure,
for grammar.
First of all, you got to do a quick spell check, a quick typo check, because you don't have to do the send the tweet, the delete the tweet, and then think again. But if it's asking for your players that you've seen, you're not wrong. They're your players. It's,
I know,
your,
but I
answer.
I can't be trusted.
Well, that's a you problem, that you need to talk with you about that, about why you can't trust you.
Oh, no,
Steve.
When I give like my top five, sometimes before I do it, I'm like, all right, who are you missing? And it's not like anybody, because like you said, when you say your favorite, it's not like somebody can say, no, he's not. He's not your favorite player.
Like, I've been to two NBA games, and my top five is super easy. Kevin Durant, Russell Westbrook, Steph Curry, Damian Lillard, and Karl Anthony Towns, because I saw a Warriors-Thunder game, and I saw a Blazers-Timberwolves game, and those are the five guys that I can remember. Those are the best five guys I've ever seen in an NBA game.
By the
That's
way,
my top five.
Cat.
Yeah, the big cat.
That, Durant, you got one of the 5-6 best players like ever. Westbrook, probably a top 25 player. Lillard and Westbrook, maybe top 35 or so. But my first instinct was old guy list, because let's face it, one of the joys of being a sports fan at a young age, growing up in an NBA town, having season tickets, it's like, if somebody had a time machine, I mean, I literally, multiple times, saw Bill Russell, Wilt Chamberlain, Kareem Jabbar, Jerry West, and Pete Maravich. It's like, Maravich still, to this day, through the single greatest pass, I've looked for it on YouTube, I can't find it. I mean, there's about 2 seconds to go in the game. Not the game, I'm sorry, the half. And our seats are about 12 rows back, but from the baseline, not to half court, about a third of the way up. And so instead of dribbling out the clock, he goes dribble, dribble, rifles a one-hop pass the length of the court underneath, damn, I can't think of the guy's name, who just kind of snuck behind the defense, just was like a no-look, woof, layup. The Garden crowd went absolutely berserk. He was with the Hawks. I think it was Bill Bridges. And it's just like, you know the guns that shoot the shirts? Yeah. It was like he had one of those, except it was his right hand. 284-8571, the Oregon fuel injection hotline. Let's bring in Josh. Josh, good afternoon. How's it going?
Hey, Steve. I saw you tweet this out earlier, and it's, got to be honest, it's driven me crazy all day long. Because, you know, I had Blazer tickets for season tickets for a long time, so I saw a lot of players, but went to a lot of Blazer games even when I was younger. But in 92, when I was 16, I went to 3 games of the Dream Team in Portland when they did the Team of the Americas in Portland.
There's your list.
I'm just like, I was trying to compose it, but I can't even come to a conclusion. And I was beating myself up because I'm like, oh, the top 5 players I've seen of all time. And I'm like, I'm the biggest Blazer hunk in the world, and I'm a Blazer on there. I got to adjust this. This isn't right. And so it's just been driving me nuts all day. I just wanted to thank you for that.
Well, you have to have Michael and Magic and Bird on that list, right? And then who's your favorite Blazer? If you're going to cave in, it's got to be for Clyde, right?
You know what? I'm on the fence of, I think Lillard's the best.
Team Lillard, you're not alone. That's been the movement among Blazer fans the last couple of years.
I mean, I know that the rest of his story has yet to be written, but he's on pace to shatter all of Clyde's records. And and as far as clutch goes, he's hit more clutch shots. I know he's not in bigger games. I mean, he hasn't been in finals games or anything, but I don't know, man. I'm not somebody that's there for recency bias either. I've just been watching him forever, and the guy's got the killer instinct. I don't know.
And you probably saw Kobe, what, 30 times?
Oh, probably, yeah. I mean, and, you know, it's weird to, you know, I don't put him on my list just because how much I despise him as a player, but, you know, he was pretty awesome. I will tell you, probably the best game I saw ever by a visiting player coming to Portland in person was LeBron. LeBron is, he's like watching a Matt Truck out on a basketball court. He's just something else. And I remember seeing Michael several times too, and Michael was amazing outside of the Dream Team, just playing the Blazers. He was a Blazer killer too. So,
no, having season tickets over the last 20 years, your list is going to match any.
Probably, yeah.
Oh, absolutely. No question about it.
I mean, that's why when you see this all-time list, like NBA TV analysts do that. I mean, even if it's a player that I can't stand, it's hard to disagree with them. Like when they bring up Kobe, it's hard to disagree. I mean, he put up some killer games that I watched that ripped your heart out personally. but Kobe probably wouldn't make my top 5. I think LeBron would probably make my top 5. Magic, Bird, Jordan. Another one that always blew me away as a kid watching him live was Isaiah Thomas. I don't know. He just, the way he commanded the floor. I mean, like I said, this list will go on and on. I mean, Sabonis is another one.
Yeah, he's unique.
Sabonis is the only person that I ever saw sway the Lakers against Shaq, and he dwarfed Shaq. He was that big of a person. And the way he passed and shot three, he was unique. And, you know, while I'm bringing up Shaq, Shaq's another one that was just amazing to watch.
Right.
The way he dominated. So, I mean, that list could go on and on and on. It's driven me nuts today, but brought back a lot of memories, too. So I appreciate that.
Yeah. Glad to help, Josh. All right. 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. When I think, I've never seen LeBron. I did see Kobe. I saw Michael and Magic and Bird. I drunk cursed Bird a couple times. I'm telling you, I know it's to a normal, rational, neutral person, you think it's blasphemy. Larry Bird is one of my most hated players of all time, any sport. And he loved to rub it in the Knicks' faces. I mean, you know, New York, Boston, can you blame him? And for people who say, well, it's a sports hate, no, I hated Bird like poison. There's no negotiation. There's no wiggle room. All right. when the Knicks beat them in the 90 playoffs when I first moved here, I'm not saying this for effect, I did probably four cartwheels. He missed a dunk because his back was so bad he could hardly jump anymore. And when that Knick team, which was on the cusp of growing into the team that would aggravate and make me miserable in the East Conference Finals against the Bulls, against the Pacers, against the Rockets in the 94 Finals. But, you know, you could see them coming on in that 1990 series when they were down 2-0, and they came back and they beat the SOBs and they beat them at the Garden. One good moment. All right, we have our triumvirate of magnificent pubs that I'd like to chat for a moment about. Tap and Growler, 5th and Pearl in downtown Eugene. Right across the street from the 5th Street Public Market, they've got a tap list 81 strong and great selection of wine and other beverages, and always paired with some fantastic eats. As you leave downtown and headed towards the Wit on the right-hand side there, you've got the Beer Garden. They have trivia. They've got live music. There's never a cover charge. They've got a terrific outside hang, some wonderful food trucks, online beergardenme.com. And then in Springfield on A Street, the newest addition, one of the coolest spaces in both our towns, Eugene Springfield Public House, online publichousehub.com. Also, really kid-friendly. You can bring your doggy there. There's an outside hang. They have really expanded their food availability. And again, publichousehub.com to Colby and Patrick and all the folks. We really appreciate your longtime support. All right, break time. We'll come back. We'll have an update and more sports talk. 95.3, The Score.
Sports Talk, sponsored in part by Guarantee RV Supercenters, the first and only RV dealership to offer service 7 days a week. Big city selection and country savings. Visit them online at Guarantee.com.
Chris Dolman has died. That follows a two-year battle with brain cancer. Minnesota Vikings drafted him in 1985. Now, he played 15 years in the NFL and recorded 150.5 sacks, was first-team All-Pro three times, went to 8 Pro Bowls. He was ultimately inducted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame in Canton in 2012.
Yo, that is KDKA Pittsburgh, Channel 2, reporting on the passing of Chris Dolman, one of the great defensive ends and pass rushers. Hall of Famer 2012, Vikings Ring of Fame with the, you know, you think about the great defensive linemen they've had from the Purple People Eaters to John Randall. I'm leaving somebody out. Jared Allen probably qualifies as well. Welcome you back to Sports Talk 95.3, The Score, here just for you, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. Text us, 321-0824. You can also try us on Twitter, at 953 The Score for the station, at Sports Talk 953 for me. For Nick, it's at Rick Nudges. All right, let's try a phone call. We've done that before and barely survived. Let's get to Mike. Mike, good afternoon. How's it going?
I'm doing great. You're talking about great basketball players in the past.
No, we're talking about great basketball players you've seen play in person.
Oh, in person. Well, too bad, because I got a story I want to tell you.
You can tell. We're going to allow it. I know the guy who hosts the show. He's going to allow you to tell your story.
I'm sorry, what?
I said I know the guy who hosts the show. He's going to allow you to tell your story.
So I am much older than you. When the Philadelphia Warriors moved to San Francisco, Wilt Chamberlain was their big star. The only time you could get on television, you know, there's only two stations you could get. There's no cable TV or anything. And you saw NBA basketball on Saturdays. It was usually Boston. And but they moved to San Francisco. I grew up in Junction City. They were broadcast on KGO Radio, which had such a powerful that at night you could hear it plain as day in Junction City. So right. I'd go to bed and listen to Wilt Chamberlain and on KGO radio, listen to the Warriors games on KGO radio. And they had some really good teams back then. And he's always been my favorite player. But KGO radio, this is a different topic, KGO radio also had a late night talk show. It's the first talk show I ever remember hearing or watching, called Ira Blue at the Hungry Eye. And he had a, this is how long ago it was, he had a very young comedy duo that was very funny, but nobody had ever heard of, often on his show. It was Cheech and Chong, who are older than you.
Right. Wow. That's good.
Okay, thanks.
Have a good one. Yeah, you know, sometimes when I ask a question, I should reiterate, because that's a very big difference maker of just good players you've seen on TV or heard about, as opposed to who you were in the arena to watch. All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. Let's bring in Rob. Rob, good afternoon. How's it going?
Oh, doing good. Thanks, Steve. Well, Scottie Pippen, for me, best player I've ever seen in person. So I actually want to track a little, if it's cool, and ask you about baseball. And so you said it's been 51 years that they've had the playoff system. So,
yeah, 1969.
So before that, what was it, the best record in the NL versus best record in the AL?
Yeah, the winner of the National League played the winner of the American League from 1903 through the Cardinals and Tigers in 1968.
Huh. Okay. Didn't know that. Thanks.
All right. Yeah, they missed 1 year. They played the first World Series. I think Boston won it in 03. And then John McGraw, the manager of the Giants, said, "We don't respect the American League. We don't recognize them. We won't play them in the World Series." And then they played every World Series from 1905 through, 1994, when the morons went on strike and cost us. So the watershed years were 1969, when they split each league into East and West. And then actually, if you remember, it was supposed to be 1994 when they were supposed to have the first wild card, but there was no season. So it ended up being 1995 when they then doubled the amount of playoff teams. Playoffs. And then, when did they start
the
wild card? Was that 2011, 2012? You know, just
the wild card game?
Yeah, maybe later?
I think it was 2013. 2012 or 2013, one of the two. I think it was 2013.
Yeah, it was right around then. So those were the watershed moments from 03 to 68. World Series pennant winners. 95, you had three division winners plus a wild card. Then they expanded to add the wild card game, and therefore 10 teams got in. So less than a half century, they took baseball from 2 to 10 teams in the playoffs. And of course, it makes sense for those who talk about purity. First of all, you always make me laugh about the purity of the game. Yeah, professional sports with a lot of money and gambling and all the suspect characters. Yeah, it's pure as the driven snow. But anyway, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. Let's bring in John. John, good afternoon. How you doing?
Good, doing well, Steve. Just going to hopefully indulge me for just a moment. I've got an all-time NBA team here. You can critique if you want. I got Magic at the point. I got LeBron at the small forward. I got Duncan at large forward. I got Kareem at the post, although I love Wilt. I'm going to go from like 1970 on. And I think you can make a pretty good argument. You probably shoot me down, but that Kobe might have been the equal of Michael. Different time period, 20 years later, 10, 15, 20 years later. But that if you put the two of them on the court, one-on-one to 20, I think Kobe would have a pretty darn good chance. So my question is just, how good do you really think Kobe was in comparison to Michael at that same position on the court? And I'll take it off the air.
All right. Appreciate the call. I always say that if I had to make a case for the greatest ever against the Jordan rules, against the Jordan fans, I would not put Kobe in the conversation before I would put Magic, Kareem, or Wilt. The thing is with Michael, and yeah, the thing about Kobe is, as brilliant as he was, and I am not being dismissive of a centerpiece of back-to-back NBA champions. So when the Lakers won in 9 and 10, you know, he was the back-to-back MVP, right? Yeah, 2009-2010. But when the Lollickers broke their... You know, they went through the 90s without winning it, then to open 2000 after they came back Game 7 against Portland. Sorry for the bad memory. It was Shaq, Shaq, Shaq. So as silly good as Kobe was, he was a one-time league MVP. And as far as his defense, which was outstanding, I am, you know, not being dismissive, you know, after, so all NBA defense, I mean, how many times? One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, yeah, nine-time NBA all-first-team defense, and a two-time Finals MVP one time, NBA MVP, well, as opposed to Jordan, everybody knows, you know, we could all recite it by now as, you know, six finals, six titles, six MVPs as far as defense. Remember, he won the Defensive Player of the Year in the NBA. A first-time All-NBA defender, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and yeah, and then he retired, and I just, with Kobe to me is top 10 all-time NBA player. Do we want to, you know, guys, I don't want to be dismissive of the elder statesman as well. And, you know, what do we do with LeBron? LeBron versus Kobe right now, I'd probably go James. So I'm not, that would push Kobe Bryant out of my top five. Yeah, oh, by the way, in the Kobe versus Michael, Michael's also a five-time league MVP. Kareem's got the record, but Michael did it five times. He's the 88 Defensive Player of the Year. So, and again, I've been watching basketball for over 50 years, and if I say Kobe's ninth, I wouldn't consider that a slap in the face. So,
honestly, quite rude, Steve.
Yeah, how dare you? Good God, y'all. All right, before we take a break, you'll be seeing on the local TVs, and we're a part of it. It's called the It Takes All Types, looking for blood donors. Our friends on TV, KMTR, KVAL, their donor drive. It's going to be Wednesday, the 12th of February, a couple days before Valentine's Day, at Mackenzie Willamette. And if you've got an interest, you know, there's a Be the Match registry. It takes 10 minutes to join. You get your cheeks swabbed. You need to be between 18 and 44. So go to our website, 953thescore.com. Click on the link and learn all the information. Obviously, it's a really, really, really important movement. But check it out, again, at 953thescore. We'll take a break. What'd you say? Oh, right, right, right. Today is Greenhill Day, Pet of the Week. So let's check in with Sarah from Greenhill, 95.3 The Score. All righty, folks, we have reached that time. It is raining out, but that doesn't impact us. It's still a yay day in the studio, and Sarah from Green Hill is here, and we've got another cutie pie. What could you tell us about Cooper?
Yeah, Cooper is a 5-year-old Border Collie mix. He weighs probably like 25, 30 pounds. He's relatively small. He's probably not going to get much bigger than he is. He came in to us as a surrender, and he's got a little bit of skin issues going on, but it's completely curable. So really, he's a little itchy right now, but once all of his hair grows back and his skin is nice and healthy, he's going to be a very happy, loving boy. He loves pets, obviously. As you
and you don't
tell.
Mean he has his own pets. You mean actual the act of petting.
Yes, the act of petting, yes. He loves the scratches.
And he's got a little bit for the older crowd of Petey from our gang, from
yeah.
the Little Rascals. He's
yes.
got that patch over his
he
eye.
He does.
I almost expect Alfalfa to show up.
Exactly. So he is a lover of just about anybody. He's dealt with kids before. He's dealt with other cats.
Nice.
He's dealt with other dogs. So he's an all-around really great dog who's just looking for his forever home that can give him a little extra love when it comes to his skin care and
right.
hair care. From what I'm thinking, it might have been just an allergy to fleas, and he probably just was
scratch.
And scratching and chewing, and it just ended up making his hair fall out. But it's all coming back now, and so he's a cute little
He
cute
sure
little buddy.
Is a friendly guy. And how old did you say?
5.
He's 5 years
mm-hmm.
old. Okay, so he's raring to go.
Yes.
And as always, for people who are listening and thinking, I want to do the right thing and adopt and give a pet their forever home, what do they need to know, Sarah?
Yeah, super simple. We're open 7 days a week, 11 to 6 p.m. over in West Eugene, over off of Green Hill Road. And you just come on down with any of the pets. We don't have just dogs. We have cats. We have bunnies. We have kittens. We have, you know, there's always a few different types of rodents that we've got. And so you come on down and have any interest. You fill out a page of paperwork, and that's all. You fill out the one page of paperwork, and then if everything jives, then you take them home.
Awesome. Sarah, always fun. Look forward to this every week. Appreciate you coming by.
Thanks for having us.
Adopt. Give a pet their forever home. Learn more online, green-hill.org. On Twitter, it's at Green Hill Humane. One of my favorite times of the week. We'll take a break. We'll be back with more Sports Talk, 95.3 The Score.
Today's show is brought to you by the Coors Light Frost Brewed Sports Desk, your home for the Coors Light scoreboard and the refreshing tweet of the day. Coors Light, the world's most refreshing beer.
When you look at what Patrick Mahomes has been able to do, minus throwing the football, because that's what we lauded at last year when he was making all crazy throws and no-look passes, now his feet is involved. And that's my issue. When I look at this game as a defensive player, it is devastating when a guy can throw going left and right and can take off and scamper for 20 or 30 yards.
Marcus Spears on ESPN. And we've officially taken the step of anointing Patrick Mahomes, QB1 of the NFL right now. And, man, you could absolutely, positively, without a doubt, make a hell of a case. Hell of a case there, fellas. It's nice having you along, by gum. Welcome back to Sports Talk, the home stretch of the 4 o'clock hour on a Wednesday. At 95.3 The Score. Here, we're also on 95.3 The Score. Something surfaced on YouTube from 2016. Have you guys seen this? An eighth grader at his graduation in June. I don't know why it got posted just now. He does spot-on impersonations of Donald Trump, Barack Obama, Hillary Clinton, and Bernie Sanders. He's 13. He gets up in front of his whole graduating class, parents and all. I almost fell off the couch laughing. Seriously, Google eighth grader impersonates presidents. It might take you 6 or 7 minutes. You will text me back and be like, oh my God. Then you could fast forward because he appears on Fallon. And ends up doing his impersonations. There have been some legendary mimics, impersonators, I don't know, however you want to call them. But this kid is, and being someone who could be, don't tell anybody, I'm looking right, I'm looking left, a little obsessive. I pictured him in front of the mirror in his room, first watching YouTube videos of all the then candidates, and then going, so, you know, you get around your friends. So I've been working on this Sanders impersonation. What do you think? And just his inflection, his hand motions, he murders it. It's awesome. I like stand-up impersonators, mimics, crushes. All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. If you'd like to jump on in, we don't force people to do things they wouldn't already want to do. So
there's no one calling.
Could you blame them? So we figured that Dick Williams, who we thought was the third manager who has taken four teams to the MLB playoffs, and we found out wrong. While he was the manager of the 1981 Montreal Expos who made the playoffs, he got fired. They played like 50-some-odd games. Then they went on strike for 56 days. Then they picked it back up, and the powers that be decided, well, let's just have a first-half champion of each division, a second-half champ. They'll square off. Then we'll have our division winners and hold the league championship series. Ironically, talking about Dusty Baker, that was the year the Dodgers beat the Yankees, and Dusty got his ring as a player, one he never achieved as a manager. So we got Billy Martin with the 69 Twins, 72 nice. Tigers, 77 Yankees, and 81 A's same year. And was it you asked me, what about Davey Johnson? And I was like, right, Mets, Orioles, Reds, and Nats. So, and now we've got Dusty, who's also done four. And if he were to take Houston to the playoffs this year, would be the first to take five teams to the postseason. And of course, with him, you go kind of in order of, well, first there was the absolute misery of the 2002 season when he was up 3-2 with the Guillons when they blew the 5-0 lead in Game 6 and lost Game 7 to the Halos. Then the next year, he took the Cubes, and they lost the Bartman series 5 outs away with Mark Pryor cruising along to that disaster. Heartbreak, heartbreak. Then in 2012, he had a 2-0 lead. Or was it 2010? Either one. The year the Giants won, one of those years. He blew a 2-0 lead. And then, of course, in 16 and 17 with the Nationals, he went to a Game 5 of the Division Series and lost both of them. But he gets a loaded squad who none of them got suspended, could become the first ever to take five teams. All right, break time. We'll be back with the Camel in the 5 o'clock hour, 95.3 The Score.